Experian.com. Our fourth and final speaker this afternoon is Graham Hardy, all the way from Wakefield. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Liam. Thank you. Thank you, comrades. It's lovely to get, as always, to be in the company of like-minded individuals and nationalists. I'm an old nationalist, not as old as some of the people in this room, actually, but I think I joined up in about 1973 with the NF and have been right through ever since with NF and BM and various other groups. And I've got to say, I've enjoyed every single day of it. We've had our ups, we've had our downs, but the fire still burns in my heart. And I still look for victory. You know, we've touched the heights, we've plummeted to the depths, and we've seen some pretty torrid times. But I'm as confident now as I ever was of victory, because victory will be ours. We've been through a pretty bad stage this last few years with betrayal, with betrayal in the party, with individuals who should have known better, of course, who've let us down. But that's been the story of our movement. From the early NF days right through to the days with Griffins and the BNP. Individuals who managed to take control of the movement who really shouldn't have been within a mile of the movement. I've found out over the years that the people who tend to progress through the party, not all, but a lot, are the ones with the biggest mouth and the deepest pockets. And that sadly has been the way it is. Little cliques always form within movements. And a lot of them do an awful lot of damage. The state's, of course, been involved with a lot of the damage in these movements and parties. Our fault as nationalists is that we have, and maybe still are, too trusting. We've taken people on board who really weren't fit to be taken on board. We should have turned them away. But there's been days when we've been so desperate for members, especially in the late 70s, early 80s, when we'd seen some pretty heady days of large NF rallies and marches and meetings, and all of a sudden it disappeared. Meetings of 50, 60 people in little provincial areas dropped down to 6 and 7 people. It's demoralising. It demoralises you, especially when you've done nothing to create this situation. It's all been down to what has happened. So you sit back and you think, well, we dust ourselves down, we start again, because the cause is still the same. What's happening out there is still happening now. It's worse now than it was 20, 30 years ago. I sat in the audience as a young man, looking at old people like me. I'm 61, older people like me. I'm 61. I thought, when I get to their age, it will have all changed. Here I am. And now I see young guys at the back. You know, the baton is passed to these young guys. You know, take the movement forward. We've not been soft, we've not been stupid, we've worked really hard. I lost count of the amount of money, hours, like a lot was in this room, that I have put into this movement. I sacrificed my first marriage through it, because I put the movement before my wife. Sadly, it was a terrible thing to do, but that's what I did. Because I was more interested in moving this movement forward, because the fire burns in my heart. I learned my lesson the hard way. You know, I've been through what a lot of nationalists in this room have been through. Police harassment, locked up in jail cells, you name it, we've been there. That's happened to us. It'll happen to some of you young lads. You take it on the chin. Because basically it's part and parcel of being a nationalist. We are a persecuted group of people. But our message is as important today, in fact it's more important today than it ever was. You know, you look outside, as I think Steve said earlier, you walk into Bradford, it's like being in a foreign country. There were times when you could walk into Bradford and it was a foreign country. You could move out, you would see the outlying areas as white. They're not anymore. The immigrants have got wealth, they've got power. They live in some of the big houses. They are taking over. Now, the question is, to address of course, is how do we stop it? That's the question. We can't get bitter, we can't get angry. Well, we need to get angry, but we can't get bitter. Because, of course, hate never solved anything. We need to look at the situation and assess the situation and see what we can do. And it's cleverer men than me can come up with it. Through all the years of being involved in nationalist politics, I've been involved with people who stood on platforms and gave speeches about how we can solve the situation. Well, here are we still here today, aren't we? We've got one nationalist council, I believe. We're down to one in the country. Is the situation so bad now? We were lucky to have a couple of MEPs. Well, lucky to have one MEP, actually, because Andrew did the job properly. I think Nick Griffin did the job properly, actually. He just proved to be a weak, pathetic character. But of course, we learned the lesson too late. And that's the way. No use crying over spilt milk. We can't look back and say, well, if only, because I do believe. I think the last meeting I spoke at was 2010. It was the meeting I'd organised at Henry Boone's in Wakefield to raise cash to get Andrew elected, actually. Over 200 people attended. They were spilling out onto the streets in the big room at the back, Henry Boone's. Arthur Kemp was on the platform and did a raffle, an auction. We raised 1,650 quid. A huge amount of cash off all white working class folks. There was nobody wealthy, I would have thought, there. You know, fiver here, tenner there. I've been out there and I've spoke to my friends and I've raised 30 or 40 quid. And I collected this cash, passed it on to the treasurer. Within 4 days, Nick Griffin's had plundered the bloody account and taken every penny. This is the kind of betrayal we've had in the past. But we dust ourselves down and we move on. You know, we're as angry. I'm sounding quite calm. I'm older. I was as fiery as these young lads were when I was 17. The Lewisham demonstrations, the riots and all this. I'm a bit older. But the passion's still there. And I know that's the same for all you older guys. You know, the passion's in your heart. And we strive for victory. The fact is that there's not 200 people. Doesn't mean we've lost these people. It means these people, they're still nationalists, they're still patriots, and they still believe in our patriotic values. What they don't want to be getting involved in, of course, is a corrupt party like the BNP was, because effectively everything has to focus back on the BNP, because that was the one that got 50 councillors elected and 2 MEPs elected and various county councillors elected. So that's the benchmark that people hold it by. But when you see the BNP now with Jefferson there, Crook, yeah. The other guy who's next to him, what's the other guy's name? What's your name, sorry?
Adam Walker.
Yeah, and the other guy. It's like
Harrington.
Yeah, Harrington. It's become a pension fund.
And Chris Barnett.
It's become their pension fund. That's all it is. You look on the website, you see the stories. They're bringing stories back from 2013. They're rolling them around on the website because basically we know nothing's happening. But it's their pension fund. And when I saw that Jefferson was actually becoming the executive for People's Wills, I'm like, this is how this guy is funding his lifestyle. And what on earth is going on? You know, people will look at this and judge it by this. So, anyway, we move on. But there's a variety of groups in this room. Of course, I'm with Andrew's group and the other groups there. There's the British Movement, that's been around for years. And we all strive to work together to do the job. We have our differences, of course. But we all have one common belief. We are white people, and we believe in white pride. I've seen people on platforms with a nervous smile say that, well, they say I'm a racist. You know, well, I'm not. I've got black friends. Well, I've got no black friends. I don't want any black friends. I've never had a black friend in my life. I don't want any. You know, and I've seen people say, well, they're calling me a fascist. Well, I'm a fascist, and I'm proud of being a fascist all my life. And I'm proud to be a fascist. My circle of friends are people who know I'm a fascist. If you don't want to knock around with a fascist, disappear. I am not bothered, because that's my belief and that's the fire that burns in my heart. And it will burn until the day I die. And I'm hoping that I can still contribute to the movement and see the day we get a modicum of success. What that success will be, I do not know. Who will lead us there, I do not know. There must be somebody out there who can move this movement forward. We were talking earlier on the car going up. You cannot make events happen. You can put a million leaflets through doors, get nothing. But if something out there changes events, and something, it clicks with people, and all of a sudden, as with UKIP, from nowhere right through. Civic nationalists, of course, which have stolen all our thunder, let's face it, they've stolen our thunder. But I don't necessarily think they've done what will come out of this is too bad. Because basically a lot of people are starting to think that maybe nationalist politics, they think UKIP is a nationalist party, we know that. They've cloaked themselves in the nationalist thing. We know it's Paul. But immigration will be the topic, of course, for the future, because the situation out there is so damn bad. I can't really see even people who live in the small areas, the rural areas, I can't really see these people avoiding it for too long. The men have a black next door neighbour, but they'll have Mr. Ali in the corner shop will be black. The doctor will be black. Every time you go to an optician, you see a black optician. The dentist are black. All the professions are being taken over by Asians. And that is the way it is now. So folks, hope nobody's low in spirits. Please don't lose heart, because the future does belong to us. But how it's going to happen, we do not know. But the future belongs to us. So, you know, we all keep the faith, and we're all here to keep the faith. So, white pride to everybody.
Questions and issues for Graham to answer. Comments, please.
Yeah. I mean, we're here to actually join in the debate. I mean, anybody got any ideas? Are we moving forward or
Michael?
Well, I mean, we've heard all of this wrong with the nationalist movement. What's right about it? Where do we start? We're at this position now, and we need to move on, not just pick over our wounds. And I wonder what ideas there are.
I mean, Andrew, do you want to speak and answer this? Or I think basically we have a lot of good people. Well, we have a hardcore of good people who basically will move this movement to fall again.
One thing I agreed with Alex about earlier is that trying to seek full nationalist unity is pointless and would not be successful, because there are important ideological differences. But we don't go to the other extreme of saying that, don't let's seek any degree of nationalist unity. I think like-minded people ought to be in the same party.
Yeah.
He was quite right to say that people whose behaviour falls well below acceptable levels in a way that is likely to be either embarrassing or harmful, those must be excluded. I think people who simply fall below maximum effort, we can't afford to exclude those people, because the sum total of a lot of partially active people will be a sum total that could be reckoned with. I think one thing we have achieved over the last few years is a degree of tolerance among people of different organisations at meetings such as this, where a lot of people who have quite firm ideological differences nevertheless can listen to each other, talk to each other, discuss matters of mutual concern and so on. That's one of the bits of good news. I do think that we need to have an electable party. Now, there are disputes about whether that could be an existing party or whether that might have to be something new. I'm inclined to the latter view, but I don't intend to engage in a debate about that now. But I think there are many people here in different organisations who ought to have a seat at that table so that we can discuss it.
Yeah. But way forward, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is an upside to all this upset there's been in the last few years, this destruction of the BNP, etc. It has removed a lot of dross.
Mm.
It has got rid of a lot of crap. And the people who are left are decent people.
Mm.
So it's not all doom and gloom entirely. A lot of the people we had were just rubbish. And we're better off without them.
Alison.
There's a gentleman that first got me involved with nationalism and nationalism ideologies is a gentleman called Ian Millard. He was in the Daily Mail, I think he was in the Daily Mail last October, was it? He's the barrister who was debarred for few tweets about Hitler, disbarred by our standards association. He's got a blog, I think it's like ianrmillard.com, and he looks to the future. And of course the main issue is funding. So we need to find people with the finances available. His idea talks about, you know, about buying some land somewhere, perhaps somewhere in the southeast, stronghold always of British nationalism. In the southwest, Exeter perhaps. Mm. And from then on, we get together. Maximus has talked about this kind of ideas. We have to behave in the same way that ethnic minorities behave in our country, in our own country. That we have to buy up land, get similar-minded people to come and live there, to come and work there, get on the national councils, get into politics that way. But it's at such a stage now that we have to behave as if we were
in exile.
That, yeah. Obviously we need people with the financial capability to be able to enable us to do this kind of thing. Yeah.
Alison and I were just talking in the break about how do we bring more women into the movement. And, you know, for God's sake, it's their kids that we're trying to preserve this country for.
It wasn't a problem. It was, we used to have a lot of women.
Yes. Yeah, where have they gone? I think there's a lot more women involved in the north of England than I see down in the southeast and the southwest. But without going a silly feminist way of sort of pandering to women's rights, etc., there must be a way of getting women more passionate about preserving the country for their children. I don't want to leave this country to my grandchildren. That's why I'm here. And I just don't get why British women are so complacent and so unenthusiastic about, you know, if it happens, it happens. Well, it's how we get them more involved.
Well, we are the true green movement, nationalism. I mean, it should appeal to women's nature.
Yeah.
Same for the question.
In regards to women in the movement, I don't think you're going to get them as the size of the movement we are now. Women are going to go with whatever's predominant. I say you find the future. At the moment, the future looks like it's going to go in their favour. So they're going to go with these other parties. They're not going to go.
The Greens.
Yeah, they're not going to go with us because we're not the future, according to, you know, kind of mainstream. So I don't think it's going to be a case of parties rising up and taking power or anything like that. I think it is going to come to ahead sometime in the next 20 years. As I say, you've been in these parties since the 60s, 70s, and we haven't gained anything. And then National Action, the one party that seemed to be kind of picking up speed a bit, they banned, and under false pretenses or no pretenses at all, really. Yet your parties are allowed to continue on, which makes me question what are you doing? I'm relatively new to all this, so I'm not aware of how BNP stands on stuff on National Front or anything like that.
Okay, there's three more questions to come.
Sorry to steal your thunder. It's just a quick announcement. Some of you may have already had it. We've got a little newsletter going out by email every week called White Voice. And some bit you've got it, haven't you? White Voice.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, it's a six-page colour. The idea is here every week. It's independent. It's for all nationalists, white nationalists. And all we need is your email address. You can, the email address for the magazine is whitevoice@gmx.com. We've had some very good feedback. We've got about 300 subscribers now because it's free. Lots of Jews want to get in on it. Leave your email address for me. I'm not fishing, but if you really want it, it's well worth it. I hope it's well worth the reading. I just want to keep things bound and ticking over.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, I think that just about wraps it up. Thank you all for coming, because without you it wouldn't have been possible. You know, this is
thanks for organising such a
this is your meeting. These are your meetings, they're for everybody who holds our traditions, our way of life, our heritage, and our continuation of, as a distinct people. If you value those ideas, then you belong here. And you should always come here, because everyone's welcome. Thank you once again. Thank you.
You are listening to Radio Area, for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioArea.com.